got a lot of nerve, honey, thinking you run something around here. You don't run nothing around here. You gonna learn today.
Never mind Grimm, Disney, or Brandy. The Cinderella story we're about to hear plops the title character into Harlem in 1943. Cindy the Musical is the brainchild of Step Stewart, who has made his mark both in music and in theater. He based the show on a 1978 television special of the same name, and it has a two-day run this weekend at the Porter Sanford III Performing Arts Center. Step Stewart and actress Nzinga Imani, welcome to City Lights.
Thank you, Lois. It's great to be back.
It is. Thank you so much.
Oh, and Nzinga, welcome aboard. Now, how do the singing birds and glass slippers translate to 1940s Harlem?
Well, actually, this story is so magical still. It still has those magical elements of Cinderella. However, Cindy in this story, of course, her real name is Sincerity. Oh. And she goes by the name of Cindy, and she doesn't wear the glass slipper per se. She wears sneakers.
I like it.
Yeah, she wears sneakers, and it's more of a relatable story because I believe that it translates to current times, because in 1943, the African-American family was going through its wartime, as well in Harlem, and it's also the Harlem Renaissance as well. So the music is great, the costumes are great, the regalness is still there, but there's still a sense of still trying to make it. But the sense of love of your life, and she does find the love of her life in just like any other Cinderella story. But the ride is a little bit different, as you'll see when you come to see Cindy the Musical at Porter Sanford this weekend. It's such an exciting show.
Well, and it's based on a 1978 television version of Cinderella, which is pretty obscure at this point compared to many other versions of Cinderella. How was that brought to your attention?
Well, actually, when I was living in Europe, I'd seen the show in the 70s, and it was like an after-school special, but I was living in Europe doing Cats, the musical, and there wasn't a lot that came on TV in English, so this kept running in English, and so my roommate and I, she and I just kept watching it over and over again, and I became obsessed with it, and I said, this is really cool, it just needs some work, and so years later, as in 3 years ago, I decided that I would do this and bring this to the stage and scrap all of the music and write my own story, making it better. And I really know that I have made it better, and it's just because the music speaks now, and I have characters that actually jump off the screen and actually live, and the story is more cohesive. Mm-hmm. And Nzinga plays Ovaltina, which is one of the ugly stepsisters. She's not ugly at all.
No. Okay, she's not ugly, and she certainly doesn't seem mean and evil.
Oh.
How do you change all that?
Oh, really, it is amazing to experience. I mean, Ovaltina, she is just the nastiest stepsister. She really is. She's got a grunge about her that I won't say that I don't have in real life, but I try not to show people too much. But, you know, I had to dig deep and find the inner evil. And really, she has her reasons. They all have their reasons. And just bringing that out and finding that reason that she doesn't like Cindy, because Cindy's just the sweetest, cutest person in real life and in the play. And for her to immediately just hate her, there's got to be some backstory. So you get to see that relationship grow, her and her evil sister Aquanetta.
Yes.
Ovaltina and Aquanetta.
Yes, now Lois, in the television special in 1978, Ovaltina, this character was actually played by Nell Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. And it was Olive was her name, actually, in the show then. And it's just funny that I wanted to give them the ugliest names I could actually come up with.
We may have to provide some background here. Ovaltine was something, I don't even know if it's still available.
It is still available.
Yes, it is.
I chose those names because I felt that the mom, who is the name Vivian, because Vivian was my mother's name, so I wanted the mom to choose the child's name that would be a household item. Mm-hmm. Aquanette and Ovaltine. Yeah. So she took Aquanette and Ovaltina, and that's what I did with the names.
Okay, and Aquanette was hairspray, and yes. Ovaltine was a chocolate powder.
A fake chocolate nasty drink that my father used to make us drink.
It was not nasty. I drank it as a child as well. Yes, I love it.
I hated it.
Well, be that as it may, and Zynga, you're talking about how Ovaltina resents Cindy because she's the sweetest and kindest and cutest. And that seems, you know, those adjectives I think would apply more to you. So where deep down do you dig for the nastiness?
Wow. I mean, bringing out that character was actually really fun to play something that's so opposite yourself. Because I have sisters who I adore more than anything in the world. So just to find something about her that makes me jealous. You know, really it's all about the jealousy. Because as soon as she comes in, people like her. The people in the neighborhood like her. And I'm sitting here with Aquanetta and nobody likes us. Everyone thinks we're mean. Everyone thinks we're ugly. Nobody wants to play with us.
Mix. Yes, and there's a line in the show where Aquanetta says to Cindy, she says, she barks at her, Cindy, our girdles, please. And Cindy pulls out the girdle and stretches it and it snaps back. She goes, so that's what a girdle is. I can hardly wait till I get fat enough to need one.
And even though she's so innocent and oblivious to the fact that she offended us, she does quite often because she doesn't like us either.
Such is innocence. Well, in fairy tales, the characters are rather flat with very simple motivations. But your musical has much more character development than the original story, than the original fairy tale.
Absolutely.
Like the Wicked Stepmother's song, I Run This House, which we opened with. What motivates the stepmother's cruelty?
The stepmother's cruelty, I love, I'm so glad that you asked that question. That was very an intelligent, that was a theater question, everybody out there. That's a real theater aficionado question.
I feel honored.
One of the reasons I Run This House is written because it tells the soliloquy of this character, Vivian. The stepmother just wants to be taken care of, and she wants someone to take charge of her. She's always run the house. Mm-hmm. She's always had to be the breadwinner. She's always had to be the one to make sure that her girls are taken care of. And it's not until the end of the show that she realizes that the dad is really there for her. He does want to take care of her, but she's got to step back and let that happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, why doesn't Cindy's father protect her more?
Well, the mother is so overbearing. Mm-hmm. She's so overbearing.
Do not mess with her.
Yeah, and she's strong.
It takes one button. It's just the one button, and that's his pride that she actually steps on that gets him to stand up and take notice. That's what happens. You'll see, and he sings, Lamont Williams plays the role, and he sings a song called Shine, Shine, and he... And it's kind of, he becomes the hero in the story. And it's so awesome because the audience gets to pick their favorites from the prince, who is kind of like I chose him to be kind of like the Gaston character from Beauty and the Beast. He's beautiful on the outside, but he knows it.
Yeah, a little too beautiful.
Yes, it's great, but he has this amazing voice. Mm-hmm. He plays Joe Prince. He's a war hero, and he's come home from the war to find a wife at the Sugar Hill Ball. Yes, and so they all attend the Sugar Hill Ball. And
do they take the A train?
She's so good. Well, Cindy gets a trip to the ball. Of course, that's how it has to happen. But her only way home is to take the A train
because that's how you get to Sugar Hill in Harlem.
That is ladies and gentlemen, you have to know that Lois has been to New York several times.
And love my Duke Ellington.
Yes, don't we all?
Well, speaking of Duke Ellington, what kind of music did you develop for the show? And you have the African-American Philharmonic Orchestra.
Yes, and directed by John Peake. I developed this music. It's out of my head. I do believe in reincarnation. Call me crazy. But this music just comes out of me. The swing era, I just love swing music. And this type of music just pours out of me. I love it. I never stopped writing this type of music, even on the 1st of January, I wrote a new song for the show called Happy Ever After.
Yes.
And everyone loves this new song, Disney-ish song.
It moves you.
It's terrific. So I never stopped writing it. I always like to write in the era. If it sounds like it doesn't belong in this era, it will get cut from the show or out of my head. So I'm a stickler for that.
Well, I think Happy Ever After and Happily Ever After is timeless. And Step Stewart, very glad that through Cats, you arrived in 1943 Harlem
yes.
with Cindy the Musical.
Yes.
Step Stewart, thank you so much. And Nzinga Imani, your transformation into the wicked stepsister Ovaltina, I know, will be worth seeing. Step Stewart is the playwright behind Cindy the Musical, and Nzinga Imani is an Atlanta-based actress and singer. Cindy the Musical has a two-day run at the Porter Sanford III Performing Arts Center in Decatur. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. You can get your tickets at cindythemusical.com.
Me. Step right up, I'll make it quick.